the way. And naturally, Christ is that way. Now, we're going to take a look at some things that are very basic, but at the same time, that can be a little complicated if you don't observe the chronological order of which those simplistic things take place. I want to teach you a Greek word, and I will transliterate it, H-A-D-O-S, and it pronounces almost in Greek as it does in English, hados, all right? And it means, it's what's usually used as the way, as Christ would teach the way. And it means a road, a highway, it even means a journey. And in a sense, in a spiritual sense, you're on that journey. I want to teach you another Greek word that transliterates P-U-L-E, but it doesn't pronounce that way in the Greek. It is poule, poule, emphasis on the O, poule. And that's a gate. We're going to talk about gates. In the spiritual sense, it means an entrance. It's very narrow. And people that think for one moment that you can bend God's laws to suit your purpose, forget it. You're out. You don't rearrange God's furniture. You don't rearrange the path. He cut it, and you will either follow it, or I'm sorry, there's a place for you. It's called hell. And it's up to you. There's a Y in the road. It's up to you. Which path are you going to take? Well, Jesus is love. You bet he is. And he loves those that takes the correct path. And those that do not, he says, get out of my sight. Don't come around me, because of his love for those that do follow him. So you see, even though it's basic, this is a very serious subject. Open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1. Gospel of Mark. We're going to take hados first, which is the way, the path. And there's only one. And verse 1 of that chapter 1 of the book of Mark reads, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, verse 2, as it is written. Where is it written? Isaiah chapter 40. That's where it's written. It is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And that was John the Baptist in that sense that he came in the spirit of Elijah. And he did prepare the way. In what way? Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Not for some individual, but for the Lord, make his path straight. It's interesting, this word straight in the Greek means also straight forth, which means it's pronounced anon in the English in places, and it means immediately, as far as time is concerned. In other words, see the urgency of it and regulate your life accordingly and do it immediately. When you see that you're out of the will of God and your life is not going good, you better get your act together. If you go with that is unnatural against God's natural, I'm sorry, we'll miss you. God does not recognize, nor does he condone. But the choice is yours. Because he gives you free will that you can choose the path, the way, the gate, and be loved, or you can be a misfit. Choice is yours. Why? Because love to do right by our Father comes from only one place. That's from within you. You either have it or you don't. You will develop it or you won't. But it's still your choice. You make your own bed and you're going to sleep in it. Not just for now, but forever. Unless you correct those things that your Father has commanded. It's the path, it's the way, it's easy to follow. All you have to do is be pleasing to Him. And there's only one way you can know what's pleasing to Him. And it's not just to say, I love Jesus. It's not just to say, I'm saved. He said, it's written in the prophets, so you had better thee well know what the prophets have written. Or I'm sorry, you're not on the path. If you're not familiar with God's Word, when the people met, when God was pleased with them, do you know what they did on the feast days? And on, they read the Scriptures. I mean, it went on for hours. Thus, they were all familiar with the way. But unfortunately, in most churches today, you get one verse of the way, and that's it. So the people lose the way, the path, because the path is Christ, and Christ is the living Word. Okay, I'll tell you what. Jesus would teach in Matthew chapter 7. Let's go there. And He speaks of these two ways. And in speaking of these two ways, again, the choice is yours. Choice is yours to make. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, the word straight means narrow, all right? And it is narrow. It means also upright, a standing, if you would, in the Greek prime. Enter that narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and the broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Anybody can fall into that. That is to say, the wrong gate. And many there be which go in thereat. They seem to like it. They seem to enjoy being lulled to sleep with things of the world or the sayings of men, rather than the true way which is written. Verse 14. Because straight or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life. That's eternal life. You're either going to enter it or you're not. And if you don't have eternal life, you're going to die. That means a spiritual death. And few there be that find it. Do you know the main reason? Next verse. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. And then He really simplifies things. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, it doesn't take a very bright person to understand, am I taught from the Word of God or from some pamphlet or from tradition of men? What some so-called great man might have said. I don't know. What are you taught from? Down through the years, when you went into study in the house of God, what did you absorb and what did you gain? What was the fruit of that tree? Was it the Word of God? Or was it traditions of men? I mean, it's real easy to tell the difference. And it's a very personal thing. Not between some church and God. It's between you and God. How much do you love Him? How much do you care about what He would choose you to do? And will you be fit? Because we're coming down to that place where people have things to do. And that is to serve God. And to have the knowledge and the wisdom to know what His plan, or His, which is His way, that you may please Him. Verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot, I repeat, cannot bring forth evil fruit. I mean, if somebody's heart is right and they're in the Word, God's own Spirit will prevent many times one from bringing forth something evil because you want to do what's right. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Do you know what that fire is? It's the lake of fire. You can read of it in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Fini, all over, friend, ashes. Verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, he has shucked this down to where anyone should be able to understand it. But you don't understand. I go to church all the time, and I try to live a good life. But do you study the Word of God? Are you wise enough to discern a tree? And you can only do that from the prophets and the Gospels. Then he continues with a warning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. Who? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, how do I know what his will is? Well, stupid, get into the Word of God. It's been before you all your life. It shouldn't be difficult for you to pick up on that. What is God's will? He has given us 66 books in the King James that tell you what his will is. But there are a lot of people that church themselves or claim to be something. And just because you attend a church that teaches God's Word, if you're not in it and do it, I'm sorry. You can say, Lord, Lord, all you want to. But until in your heart and mind you receive His way and choose to do His way, I'm sorry, friend, you're playing and you can't con God. It's very serious. Simple, serious. 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Question. Well, it's obvious from what he just said, they weren't prophesied in God's name, but on some binge. Probably been drinking too much elderberry juice, you know, or something. All wind up on their own spirit or some nut spirit. We be holy. You know, be careful, friend. We're living in precarious times, and you're supposed to be preparing the way. Make sure it's the right way you're preparing, because he takes a dim view of anything counterfeit. And in thy name have we cast out devils, question. And in thy name done many wonderful works. While we called ourselves the church with the wide open windows, wide open roof, and wide open this, and wide open that. It was a church for anybody to do anything, and we reached thousands of people. It all comes down to one thing, the way. You're either in it, or you're not. I don't care what they call themselves. 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never, not then, but I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then, of course, he goes into the wise man and the guy that's a little bit stupid, all right, about building houses. We'll spare ourselves that. But if it's written in the prophets and in the law, somewhere it should be simplified, basically what the choices are, the two ways. God wouldn't try to deceive you. He makes everything real simple for you. And it just so happens that the two ways are well recorded whereby anyone can understand without excuse in the great book of Deuteronomy. And we'll find it there in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just turn there with me a moment. I mean, really shucks it right down where the rubber meets the road, and you don't have any trouble understanding what it is that your Father would have you do, and to believe and to understand. Deuteronomy chapter 30, And for the sake of time, hey, it's quite interesting to read the whole chapter, but let's pick it up at the 15th verse, where God is teaching. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Now that's your two roads, friend. He set it before you. And quite frankly, again, the choice is yours. Totally, completely yours. In that I command thee this day to love, to do what? To love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, there's that path, his ways, not yours, not someone else's, and not even necessarily someone that might call themselves Kirch, but God's way, this word, and to keep his commandments. Well, what are the commandments so I could keep them? Well, study them. They're all here. But I thought all I had to do was say I love Jesus and just be happy. Only a fool would think saying that, because if you truly loved him, you would know this word. You couldn't get enough of it if you really loved him. And to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. And quite frankly, you better know the difference between ordinances, statutes, and judgments. That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee. And that's the main hitch, my friend. There's no other way to have his blessings. Is your life falling apart? Then get honest with God and use common sense, and his word tells you how to be prosperous. It really does. And I'm not just preaching you a little old sermon to make you feel good. I know for a fact it does. He does. Bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it, wherever you are. God's children cut a wide swath. They make their own wake, and they have God's blessings, and they're real easy to spot, all right? But, boy, you know, this old English language, that old word must come along occasionally, shouldn't it? Verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away. Now that's an important sentence. Drawn away. Yeah, listening to some tongue that tickles ears. Do you want to know a true and a real ministry? Do you want to know a different way to worship? Hot ziggity? Or ho ziggity? Or we can just laugh and have a big time. Some new way. Be careful, my friend. Don't listen to fools. Don't be drawn away from this, God's word. And worship other gods and serve them. You see, if you worship the first Messiah that sets foot on this earth, that's Satan. I don't know. The choice is yours. And basically, that's what the two roads melt down to. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. You can go in the most blessed land in the world, and you're going to die, and you're going to have rough luck, and you're going to be so confused, you're not even going to know which end is up. That's how your life is going to be. Well, that's the choice is yours. He tells us, he warns us. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, you're responsible, not somebody else. You. That I have set before you life and death. That's the straight, narrow, or the broad. Blessing and cursing. And people get to make their own choice. Isn't that wonderful? It really, truly is, because it's all up to you. Not somebody else, but it's up to you. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that you and your children will live an eternal life, and not only that, you'll be even happy in the flesh life. Well, problems come to everyone. Yeah, but some of us enjoy a little action, you know? A little trouble to sharpen your wits and to show Satan that you can take names and kick dragon. All right? What's a little trouble? Hey, what are you, a mouse? Are you a wimp that you can't handle trouble? Bring it on. There's a fix, and it's right here. It's in His Word. Trouble's nothing to those that follow God, because we have the victory, and we know it before the challenge even starts, before the match even gets underway. We know who the victor is, because He is the victor, and we are in Him. The choice, though, again, it's totally ours. I really think that's wonderful. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life. Don't read over that. He is thy life. Our eternal life is totally in Him. That's why Christ is the way. That's to say, the road. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. You might make a mental note of those names. They're going to come up again in the New Testament here in a moment, and I wonder, are you going to be with them? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And again, it's like, unless you've got a papa with a shotgun, you got to choose who you married, all right? You know, it's wonderful that of all the people in the world, you get to choose. Well, so it is with the roads and the path. Are you going to choose happiness, blessedness, and wealth? Because you can't con God. If you think you can for a moment, I'm sorry. He knows what you're thinking. I may not, and the person next to you may not, but God, our Father, knows what you're even thinking. You haven't even got a prayer of a chance to con Him. So it's best to love Him because He is your Father, number one. And how do you follow His commandments? Again, I know I repeat myself many times. It's to grow skilled in His Word as it was in the days of old. When the Scriptures were read for hour after hour and explained, whereby no one had to say, do you know what the Lord saith? If somebody got a thumping, they knew what it was for, usually. Oh, that we could get back to that, and that I thank God for this ministry, that people enjoy hearing God's Word taught rather than a bunch of one-versism in the traditions of men. There's a follow-up in this in, what is it, Luke chapter 13. Let's turn there. And we see a little different version, not necessarily version, but we see a little differently the way that Christ puts this forth, putting a little more severity to it. If it sounds like I'm firm today, hey, this is your life, friend, we're talking about, and it's important. It's your internal life. And again, the choice is yours. It's that simple. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus again teaching, not the same as the last, okay? Don't confuse this with Matthew 7. Strive, do you know what this word strive? Let's talk about it for a moment. In the Greek, it means to contend as with an adversary. Do you know what Satan's name is? It is adversary. So don't think that just because you say, I love Jesus, that life is sugar and cream on earth. It is really in depth. But you have to learn how to take names and kick dragon. All right, you can't be a wimp and do that. And if you like that preferably spiritual, put it that way. There are spiritual giants in this world. And that is people that have this word, that know it, and walk closely with Him. and are giants, and Satan, hey, the demons could tell you about them, because they don't want nothing to do with them. One of those walks in, the demonic spirits are out of here, gone. Because they know a contender when they see one. And if you could only see the power that is over the head of contenders, you would understand why. Strive, that means fight, all right, if you must. I'll go overboard, to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, whoa, wait a minute. Now, he said, strive and contend, and many are going to try to enter it, and they can't make it. Do you know why? Think time, because time has to do with this. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. In other words, here we only hear of one road. We don't hear about that other road, but we hear of a lot of them that have traveled that other road, all of a sudden want to enter the straight gate, but it's shut. And that time is coming. I mean, it is closed. Too late, Charlie. You got a one-way ticket unless you get your act together through the millennium. I had that for the student. You see, the other road isn't mentioned here, because there comes a time when there's only one road that will be dealt with. And it's kind of like those that say, well, you don't know how many people I've healed in your name. There's nobody healed anybody unless they're a medical or doctor that has the gift and is able to manipulate nature itself. But God is the healer, all right? And quite frankly, no one cast out demons. Not even these spiritual giants that I might have mentioned. It's what's over their head that drives the demon away. You see, you're either on the right road and you've entered that gate, because there will come a time when it is shut and it will be too late. Too late. Well, too late to what? Too late to learn the Word of God. You've messed around all your life and never got into the Word of God. Didn't know how to please Him. Out playing mumbly peg in the bushes. Well, I had important things to do and my business was going under. Well, your whole business just sunk, dude. Something a lot more important than your business. And I've got another news for you. Your business wouldn't have sunk if you'd have been in the Word. It would have been prosperous. Well, I just didn't have time. Show me a man that'll say that, and I'll show you someone that is ignorant. Because if you don't have time for God, you don't even have time to live. You're a nothing, a nobody. You're not fit. If you're not wise enough to realize you've got to place a little bit of time in your day. And I admire the working, striving family that works very hard to feed their family. You know what? I know the times. But hey, I don't know how anyone can even work a job without saying, Father, this is really something. We're rolling here, Father. You don't even talk to him to yourself while you're on a job. I really don't understand how someone could work a full shift or run a business a whole day without saying, God, I'm trying to make the right decision. Will you help me? make this decision. You know, it's just, to me, it's a way of life. It is the way. And I'm not saying I'm self-righteous. Hey, I'm probably one of the biggest sinners in this room, be that as it may. I say many things that probably God doesn't appreciate sometimes, and maybe I offend some people that maybe God doesn't appreciate, but I offend a lot of them that he applauds. You know, he said, hey, give it to them. You know, that's the way it is. But be that as it may, we're not perfect, but he is the way. And that is the way you receive blessings, is by being familiar with his word. I'm sorry, there's a day coming when it's shut. Too late. And boy, will there be some sobering, deep searching of souls at that time. He says, hey, I don't even know whence you are. Now stop and think about that. These were church people for them. They thought they were religious people for them to say, I prayed in your name, even practiced the arts of ministry, casting out demons, so forth. He didn't even know them because they had drifted so far away from the way, which is his word. 26, then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. We've heard Jesus taught in our streets of the airways and all over the place, everywhere. I was born in a Christian family, and we've talked about Jesus all of our lives. But we didn't get serious, maybe, and get into the way, which is the word. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence you are. Do you know what that means? You're not in the book of life. You're not written in my book. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, and there will be gnashing of teeth. When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. That's what the way leads into. It means the entrance to the temple, the true temple, the temple that is Christ. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Those that are spoken so highly of on this earth, we're going to find out they're at the bottom of the rung, that probably dung in the street. And those that are spoken poorly of here will be in control there with him, under him. It also has a deeper meaning having to do with earth ages. Those that were first chosen will live in the last generation, known as the parable of the fig tree. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Okay, verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way, underline it in your mind, the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. When Solomon built his tomb and all, I'm sorry, temple and all the other temples were built, Herod's and so forth, Moses' tabernacle, it just wasn't opened up. The gate wasn't open for everyone, all right? That's why you're going to find out who the gate really is, all right? So that would be Christ, of course. 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. In other words, all those gifts couldn't make the priest perfect while he was in the flesh that offered the gifts on the altar. This was a type or a drawing, just like you would draw a picture to explain something to a little child. Your father did that for you so that you can see the entering of the outer court, the inner court, the number of steps, each step having a meaning. By that I mean in numerics, signifying a deeper thought, new beginnings, so forth. But it, and this is the reason that when Christ died on the cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, because he opened the way that you could enter through him, that is to say, Christ, the living word, this word. Okay, verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. That's why ordinances are a no-no if they're blood ordinances. They're done away with. And if you ever mimic or mock one of them and become a legalist to that point, I'm sorry, you're not in the way. You fell out and you blaspheme Christ in doing so. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, but the many-membered body of Christ. That's the temple. He is the temple thereof. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. So that's a Greek word that's fascinating. You at Passover, I think I taught that sermon there. I can't remember, but there is time involved as well, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That redemption, that baptism, that is the way. If the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Get all these old traditions out of your mind. They're not as old as the Word of God. For the traditions of men come into being by cunning artifactors that Christ warned you to beware of. People that make religions out of subjects. It's good to know all things as best you can, but beware those that make a religion of them. All right? Stop dead works, because any time you pull away from this way, I'm sorry, the work is dead and you're going to be too if you're not very careful. 15. And for this cause, it was for this reason, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that's the law we read in Deuteronomy where the warning was given, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And when that testator died, Christ, on the cross, you inherited it. You inherited the right to be able to understand this word with prayer, thought. He intercedes for you when you ask him. He knows, and he will help you. Whatever you want to build for him, if you ask it in his name, he'll give it. He'll make it possible, but you've got to be willing to do the work. It may take years. No, I just don't have the patience to wait years. Well, I'm sorry, sucker. What are you worried about time for? We're going to be here forever anyway. What's your hurry? Well, I want to be a super preacher overnight. Well, I'm sorry. Until God calls you and makes you a super preacher, well, suffer, sucker. You know, that's the way it is. Men do not make super preachers. Now, there are a lot of people that claim to be super preachers. All right? Yeah, I mean, you hear, turn the knob on tonight or today or whenever, you know, they'll tell you. But God chooses whom he will. And apparently he's chosen you. to be interested in His Word and to look at it in more depth to understand. There is a oneness in Him. Skip on to the 10th chapter. Let's see, where do I want to go here? Let's go with, it continues, remember this. This is where it states in chapter 10 of Hebrews, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." He is the book. You'll find that in verse 7 of that 10th chapter. But for the sake of time, I want to go right down to 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Once you repent of dead works and get with it, I received this question on television many times. Will my sins be brought up on Judgment Day after I repent? Let's read that verse again. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." They're gone. Do you see how beautiful the way is? It's scratched out of the book. And that's so much more important as having your sin scratched out of the book instead of your name. Where He says, "Hey, I don't know you. You're not in my book." Then to have your name written there and He says, "My good and faithful servant." Okay? Big difference. 18. "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest." Entering into what? The gate. Into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, this is why we came here. "But a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." He rent that thing. "That is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." And He is there today, and He is with us forever. Now, how do you answer someone? Well, just with all those words, I kind of see that, but how can I just nail it down? We went to the Old Testament and saw the two ways, observed the two ways. We read them. How can I just really get down to the nitty-gritty and teach someone what the way is? And you know what? I'm really glad you all asked me that, because I'm going to tell you. Right? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm just going to start reading with verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." How many of you have troubled hearts? You shouldn't have. You really shouldn't have if you're in the way. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." That doesn't mean mansions like some think. It means resting places. And hey, you can find a rest there now if you're ready. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, John the Baptist was the forerunner in that first advent, but he's talking here now about the second advent, all right? Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." In other words, He is somewhere, and naturally what He's going to do, He's going to send the Comforter even in between as an interim, that we have that Comforter, and we have that resting place, mansion, abode in Him. "And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know." Now think about that. The way ye know. Why? He had taught them. Do you realize that the Sermon on the Mount is what we've been studying from in a large part today? That's right. Those great scriptures that would tell of His return. And He is returning. And when He returns is when the gate shuts. When the door shuts. Thomas said unto Him, I'm glad old Thomas was there, you know, because Thomas always said, "Hey, I need that explained again, Lord. I just didn't quite get that, and I'm kind of, you know, tell me one more time." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Now, that's a serious question, beloved. Do you know the way? Think about it. I mean, what are we talking about here? Well, if you get on that right road, that way, you've got a mansion, means a resting place. Hey, even while I'm teaching here, and if a person is teaching with intensity, then it takes a lot out of you. But I can even rest while I'm talking to you by recessing into that comforter, that place of rest. And just take a moment, get my wits about me, and then lay it on you again. You know? Just that easy, all right? That resting place is there. That's what makes can-do type people, all right? Don't use me as an example. I'm not saying that, and I shouldn't have. But that's the way is. All right? But old Thomas says, "Hey, don't leave us here. We don't know the way, and we want to come where you are." This is the way you get there. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Period. Friend, that's it. Boy, I don't know who could have said it any better. And it even gives you the ingredients. Truth, life. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, for from henceforth you know him and have seen me." Grab hold of this. Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father and it suffice us." Let it, you know, zoom him in here. Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" And so it is, beloved. Christ is the way. Christ is the living Word. This is the Word. He loved you so much that he died for you, that you could have it. A Word that answers all your problems. A Word that brings you peace of mind. A Word that will always strengthen you. A Word that will cause demons to run from you, for it teaches you how to do it. A Word that will teach you how to be a successful farmer. I mean, the best agriculture laws in the world are in that book. And he will also teach you how to be a counselor. He will teach you how to operate your business and be successful, because word of mouth is the best advertising, and a person that runs their business the way it's said here. And don't be one of these wimps that said, "Yeah, that means give everything away, don't it?" No, it doesn't. God is not a wimp. But to do business honestly and straightforwardly. And if you're ever in business with a product that you don't believe in yourself, get out of it. You know, believe in what you're doing, or don't have anything to do with it. And I don't know why this is coming in here. I hope nobody's having trouble in their business. I didn't intend to bring this on to this part, but it's there. That's the way. Choose that road to success. He's not just with you through church time. That's what I'm trying to say. He's with you 24 hours a day in your business, in your work, in your play, to help you and teach you how to be happy and successful. All right? Choose his way. Grow familiar with his word, and you know how to accomplish those things. Because the simplest, most common sense that can ever be gained by man is in that word. You can pay thousands of dollars for a time expert to come in and tell you how to be more successful. He won't do as well as Almighty God will. And it's free, because the price has already been paid. He paid it on the cross to make the will, that's the testament, effective for you today. For when you've entered that gate, you inherited it. Claim it and do it. Be a can-do type person. Father, we thank you for the written word. Be with us this day. Thank you for that way, that path, and that path is Christ. We know that Messiah, the Anointed One, Yahweh's Savior. Father, always give us understanding into thy word, for it is thy way and thy will and thy plan that we try to follow, Father, in this world today. Help us in doing this as you always have. We be careful to give you the praise and the thanks in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.